Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Studying the attitudes of people is a most interesting subject. The attitudes that people have towards someone or something determines their actions or their reactions concerning it. The acceptance or rejection of the gospel plea reflects one's attitude toward the gospel and toward Christ and even toward God, toward things sacred and eternal in nature. It is difficult, if not altogether impossible, to get very far with someone in teaching them the truth if their attitude is one of indifference and unconcern or maybe even hostility toward it. Now, this is true regardless of the subject under consideration, whether it be mathematics or geography or social science or history or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 17, we have reported unto us numerous attitudes that people of the first century had toward the gospel and the resulting variance in action concerning it. Now, we can expect people to have different attitudes toward different things. But in Acts chapter 17, there were so many things that were exactly the same in each instance. There was the same preacher with the same message and the same approach and the same need. Yet there were so very many different attitudes and reactions. And what existed and is so easily noted is that these attitudes and reactions still exist today. Acts chapter 17, the first three verses tell us, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." Now please, first of all, take note, Paul reasoned with his hearers. This implies a very calm, deliberate, rational, and intelligent discussion of the Scriptures. It was a discussion designed to create understanding and create faith. There was nothing sensational or dramatic about it, nothing entertaining or flighty about the approach of the Apostle Paul. He did not try to win his hearers with words of wisdom or with excellency of speech, appealing to the vanity of worldly acclaim. He didn't do that. He simply took the Scriptures and taught them the truth concerning the prophets and their message, what they had said about the Messiah, and he applied it to Christ, and he showed how Jesus is the Christ. Now, there were two very different reactions to his teaching. Verse 4 says, "And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So there was great acceptance on the part of many to the gospel that Paul preached. But on the other hand, we continue to read, "But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go." Well, now, here was a violent reaction, hostility, very aggressive opposition to the gospel of Christ that Paul preached. The unbelievers created a near riot with the lewd and base elements of people, making charges for which there was no basis except, of course, their ignorance, making no effort to investigate or to prove what they were saying. It was an emotional, irrational, defensive reaction of rejection. They simply shut their minds to the truth, not even fully aware of what they were opposing. It was prompted by sheer and transparent prejudice. Yes, it's true, Paul did preach another king, King Jesus. But what kind of king did he preach him to be? Jesus was not one who was a competitor to Caesar. His kingdom was not an earthly one, but a heavenly and a spiritual kingdom. But what a different attitude and reaction was seen in Thessalonica to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And then Paul went down to Berea. The scriptures read, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. Now in Berea, there was the same approach, the same message, as the Apostle Paul had used before. He went to the synagogue. He was the same preacher. There was something different here, however, and the difference was in the hearers. These in Berea were open-minded. They had a readiness of mind. They were willing to investigate. They desired to learn. They would inquire rather than simply be content to remain in their prejudicial ignorance. And with this kind of attitude, as one might expect, there was quite a different reaction to the gospel. The scripture says, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few." Friend, the truth is not offensive. It's not threatening to those who want the truth and those who love the truth. And even though truth is demanding, those who want to be right before God are grateful to learn whatever it is that God wants. Truth often arouses resentment from those whose minds are so set against it that they will not fairly give it a hearing or even look into the matter. But not everyone in Berea reacted with favor toward the gospel. The hostility that existed in Thessalonica was also brought to Berea. The passage of verse 13 says, "And when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither and stirred up the people." And this situation became so bad that there was the necessity for Paul and his company to have to move on. Verse 14 says, "Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul and company to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still." Now, there were those who so hated the truth that they not only did not want it for themselves, but they didn't want others to learn of it either. They were much like those of whom Jesus spoke in Matthew 23 and verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Friend, there are those that would like to see the gospel be accepted by nobody. I believe there are people who would accept the gospel if it were not for others who sow seeds of prejudice and opposition in their hearts. The opposition against the gospel and the proclaimer of it was so intense in this situation in Berea that Paul had to leave and take the gospel somewhere else. And where did he go? Why, he went to the city of Athens. "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." Now in Athens, Paul was all alone, as far as Christians were concerned. In this city, which was a very unique city because it was the intellectual capital of the world, one that was renowned for its architecture, for its literature, its philosophy, and the worldly wise of the age, it was a city of much learning, but it was also a city of heathenism and idolatry and superstition and uncertainty, and populated by those who sought knowledge just simply for knowledge's sake. And as Paul waited for his companions, the scriptures tell us that his spirit was stirred within him. In Athens, we have the same preacher. And we're going to see he makes a similar approach in the synagogue and in the marketplaces, proclaiming the same message. Now, his message seemed strange to certain philosophers because he taught the resurrection of Christ. Paul had aroused their curiosity sufficiently, however, that they invited him to tell them more, taking him to Mars Hill into the Areopagus, the assembling place of the honorable men and the thinkers and the philosophers and the leaders of the city. Now, we're not going to here discuss the full sermon that Paul preached in Athens, but suffice it for our study here is to say that he preached the true God as opposed to the idols that the Athenians worshipped. He preached the judgment to come. He preached the necessity of repentance. He preached the resurrection of Christ, and it was that resurrection that provoked such reactions as became so evident. The whole thing may seem to have been a glorious opportunity for Paul to make Christ known here in Athens and the leaders of the area. Just imagine being invited to go to their very center meeting place and their assembly and to preach his message. But his hearers were not really concerned with truth versus error. They were merely curious. They were only wanting to know what Paul was teaching in order that they might hear something that they had not heard previously. They were intrigued by what was new more than by what was true. And those kind of people, they've not vanished from the earth. Their so-called broad-mindedness was so extensive that nothing really mattered one way or another to them. They were indifferent to any personal responsibility to the message. They had no intention of making a decision about what they heard, even though their failure to make a decision for Christ was to decide to be against Christ, for Christ taught that's the case. The attitudes and the subsequent reactions of the preaching of the gospel in Athens, they were varied. There were some that mocked. There were others that said they were interested, at least enough to want to hear some more at a later time. And the Bible says that some clave to Paul and believed, but they were few in number. Doubtless there were those that went away just as indifferently as they had come to hear Paul preach to begin with. They were satisfied within themselves. They had heard something new, and that's all they were interested in hearing. Now, in these three cities, Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens, we see the same man with the same message and the same approach. But what a variance in the attitudes of the hearers and a variance in their reactions. There was rejection, hostility, opposition. And friend, that age was not the last to react to the truth of Jesus Christ in such a sinful fashion. But that is always the case with those who love darkness rather than light. But there was also indifference and curiosity, but an unwillingness to listen in order to be persuaded. And when there is no concern and no real care about right and wrong, that's what can be expected. And many today who are so wise in their own eyes, who have drunk deeply from the wells of so-called intellectualism and learning, who consider it beneath their scholarship to make a serious and fair-minded inquiry into the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the kind of reaction you can expect. They already have such a superior attitude regarding themselves because they have spent much time in study. They know the philosophies of men, that they really cannot submit themselves to seriously consider the lowly Nazarene. And unless they've invented it, why, they feel it must be something less than deserving of their time and study. Friend, there are a lot of people in the world who are just that way. They are so high, they are so mighty, they even consider themselves above the Christ, and even above God. But there was also acceptance by some, wasn't there? There was belief because there was a desire to learn the truth. There was belief because there was a willingness to weigh the evidence and a sense of responsibility to that truth. And those that believed, they were not gullible. They were not blind. They were not naive. They were not just easily led about. They were open. They were investigative. They were inquiring. They were willing to discuss the issue. And they learned. Not just for the sake of learning, but for the sake of making application of what they learned. Now, friend, of these three attitudes, only this last one that I've mentioned will lead to salvation. The first two will mean condemnation. Friend, do you realize that to reject or to ignore the gospel means your spiritual damnation? Because Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And so I ask you, what is your attitude? To which group, in Acts 17, do you belong? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.